Welcome to Peloton, where change is a six-letter word that starts with you. But don't just be the change you wish to see. Work at it, run at it, lift at it, and even keep at it. With Peloton's all-access membership, you don't ever have to dip out on a workout unless you're squatting. Track your progress, set pace targets, and if you're ready to lift, download the Peloton Strength Plus app.
Okay, this is the fun part.
This is fitness, but personal. So see you on the Peloton tread at onepeloton.com. Find your push, find your power. Peloton.
Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolokimab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
Yeah, but Liverpool were always going to look for further reinforcements. They're not going to go into the season with just one right back. They'll want lots of options everywhere.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The LOI Pod on Off the Ball. Catch live and exclusive national radio commentary of the Men's League of Ireland Premier Division on Off the Ball all season.
Hello there, you are very welcome to another LOI Pod here on Off the Ball. It is Stephen Doyle with you this week and joined as ever by the two greats, Vinnie Perth and Gareth McGlynn, who I hope have digested those lovely burgers they were eating on Friday nights before the game at Tallaght Stadium. The first time I think all four of us were seen in one building. So any conspiracy theorists out there can put that one to bed.
I have to say, shout out to the Rovers. Chipper, unbelievable burgers.
Yeah, folks, if you believe that man, he's out of a chipper now. You have another thing coming. We watched them play out in a little draw with Derry City at Tallaght Stadium. Cork City and Drogheda United drew in the TV game 1-1. There were wins for champions Shelburne, St Patrick's Athletic and Galway United. The Saints are top now after those games, but United on the same points. Drogheda United third, Shells fourth and Waterford fifth. Shamrock Rovers, Derry City, Cork City, Bohemians and Sligo Rovers then sixth to tenth, respectively, in the bottom half of the table. Round 8 games this week. Bohemians are home to Sligo Rovers. Derry City entertaining Cork City. Waterford go to Drogheda United. Galway United against Shamrock Rovers over at Eamon DC Park. And St Patrick's Athletic against Shelburne in another big, big Dublin derby. Lads, I was talking to Mark Coyle today, the Shelburne captain and midfield enforcer, an all-round nice guy. Always love having a chat with Mark. More on him in a minute. Just as I was preparing one of my questions, I was had to go onto the Wikipedia pages of Gareth McGlynn and Vinnie Perth. I was just seeing what I couldn't remember what the lads' honours were. I'll go scroll down to the honours section there. Completely forgot that GMAC played in the 2011 Dublin Super Cup.
I did. What a tournament!
Unbelievable. You played against Manchester City and Celtic. You came off the bench against Manchester City, taken off, hauled off, Vinnie, I thought. I was looking through the match report and seeing McGlynn substituted 34 minutes. Celtic won the match 5-0. I was like, oh my God, GMAC must have had an absolute dreadful day out there. But I felt bad then because you took a knock, didn't you?
Celtic midfielder, Wanyama, what do you call him again, centre midfielder?
Victor Wanyama, he's with Dunfermline now.
He's signed back with Dunfermline. I couldn't believe it. What an experience playing at the Aviva. Unbelievable. Obviously, at that stage, it had gone to the Aviva, so we hadn't got the cup final, but what a great service. Are they bringing that back, or is there any noise of it coming back?
Yeah, there's been a few different guises where they brought Premier League teams over to play various Dublin-centric tournaments. But it was actually, I covered those games, I remember as a reporter, and it was brilliant to see all the League of Ireland players getting out onto the pitch and playing games against big names like that. Do you remember any kind of, like, I did look at the City team, it was a bit of a ditty team that just played that day. There was a couple like Boyata, a couple other kind of half decent players there, that City team. But any standouts for you there in those two games?
Well, we played against Celtic, obviously, but McCourt was playing for Celtic at the time. He had moved, obviously, from Derry to Celtic. And talk about handling, trying to handle that man on the pitch. He was just, and it's funny too, was when you're training, when they were playing with him in the League of Ireland, you kind of took him for granted a wee bit. But then when you're playing against him, and he's obviously gone up the levels since he moved to Celtic, it was a different animal. It was unbelievable on the day. Just trying to get near him with a ball and trying to get it off him. I mean, I think he got three of our players booked within about 10 minutes. I think that's how difficult it was.
And what was it like, actually, just when you have a League of Ireland 11 like that? Obviously, you're playing these lads week in, week out, and you're trying to go out and beat each other. What was it like, all you guys? It's a bit like, I suppose, like when the Gaelic footballers all come together to play the Aussie rules or the mixed, the international rules. What was that like? What was the experience like?
Well, I think I remember there was a lot of Derry players at the time. And I remember that in that particular game, and even the Man City, there was always four or five of us playing together. So it was easy playing with those players. But I mean, you know yourself, the League of Ireland was quite strong back then. So all the players coming in were a decent level. But it was brilliant camaraderie. Obviously, you're kicking lumps at each other every week in, week out, and then you're expected to say nothing and train together. But it was a good week, I have to say. I remember Kenny Cunningham was to the training, and then I think it was Richardson was the manager, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. No, brilliant week. And I just wish for the current players, I wish it's something that they kept going, because what an experience playing at the Aviva against some world-class players.
Yeah, it might be something that they could look at again. Vinny, you look a bit angry there when you mentioned Rico's name there. 34 years of age, you were overlooked, snubbed.
I'll tell you, I was never near that level, thank God. When you looked at my honours, very few related to football or sort of on the pitch. So you wouldn't have found me on any of them sort of teams at any stage. I think the best thing I ever done was win on going to Team of the Year in the First Division. That was the highlight in my playing career.
The 06 title win with Rovers?
No, that was in 2001 when Dundalk or Longford Town got promoted.
Absolutely. Well, listen, your experience really comes to the fore for my next question, because I did say to Mark, my first question to him was, did he feel that this season has been different with regard to playing opposition, that there's a bit of a target on their back and that the opposition are out to get Shelburne because they are now the champions? And he kind of said, look, he said he kind of felt that teams are maybe giving them a bit more respect in possession, but he definitely feels that teams are all bringing their, as he says, their A game to every match. Now, look, you've been involved in title-winning sides with Dundalk. What was the big difference you found when you were coming into the following season as champions?
Yeah, I think I've answered this before, and I got a bit of traction. I think there's two ways of answering it. I think for me, I felt, particularly the players I managed, remember, very similar to the Shelbourne squad, like the players like Massey, Boyle, Gartland, Sean Gannon, albeit Gannon had won leagues before, Chris Shields. They weren't serial league winners. Pat Hooban weren't serial league winners. That was their first time to win a league title. And when you win your first league title, I always say, I believe that group of players anyway, I can only judge off them, go up a level and they feel like they belong at a league winning team. And for that reason, I think it's easier to win the second league title. Very few people agree with that, and I understand that. But I think you sort of win a lot more games because your players have gone up a level. So the biggest compliment I could give Damien Duff is I think he's got players to go up levels, and they have become league winners, which we all know. But they also play like league winners, and they start the season like that. They've had a dip off in the last couple of weeks. I would put a mixture of their current form down to two things. One is, I think the change of shape hasn't necessarily worked, having Meepo in the team alongside Boydy. I just thought they were... I can see why he tried to do that. I think you've got to involve as a champion. You've got to keep involving. But I like the way they played last year. It was a little bit structured, probably too structured, in terms of that 4-3-3 and very straight straight lines of a midfield three and a front three. So he's been searching a little bit, Damien, over the last week or two. I think that was a huge momentum shift last week, winning in Sligo. But so that's a long way of saying to you, Stephen, I think it goes the other way. But there's no doubt some teams are up for it. Here comes the champions. We knocked them off the perch. I get that. But I do believe that his players have gone from, if, for example, whatever 6 out of 10 means, if they were 6 out of 10 players, they're now 8 out of 10, some of them, and sevens have become nines. And I think that's the confidence you get as a league-winning team. I really do. Judged on the lads, as I said, I worked with, when you look at something like Massey, you expected to win a league title every year. When he signed from Bray 2 years before that, he didn't. So winning your first one makes it a little bit easier for me. For me, because you've been through the experience of getting over the line, and Shells had that difficult run in last year and eventually got over the line. So I see it slightly different, but that's just my view, except not everyone agrees with it.
Just to pick you up on something there as well, Vinny, because you're talking about Duff trying to evolve their game, and you do see that with a lot of champions, where I suppose a lot of people say, if you're standing still, you're going backwards. I've seen that used that phrase used a lot in Gaelic football this week after the National League campaign. Yeah. But Shamrock Rovers never really evolved. You know, Stephen Bradley had his game plan, he had his formation, he stuck to it. So how were they able to put four league wins in a row together? Was it just because they had the best players in the league?
So that's a really difficult question, right? Because the answer to that mightn't sit well with a few people, okay? And what the answer to that is twofold is, one, they were brilliant at what they'd done, right? Particularly around 2021, that team was probably the best of the four-in-a-row team. When you think of Aaron McAniff, Jack Bourne, Graham Bourke, that midfield, and Gary O'Neill, it was exceptional, okay? Gaffney was unplayable at times when he played up front and he'd drop into that little sort of left-hand channel. Really good. Ronan Finn, whether it was him at right wing back, joining in, being an attacking force, really exceptional. And the goalkeeper was solid. And they also didn't get challenged throughout them years, I would say, by a really top team. They knocked Dundalk off the perch, which I'm responsible for. And then they went and kicked on. And then, so that's the bit where a couple of Rovers people might get offended by, but they were exceptional and they've been one of the great Shamrock Rovers team. I think that's important, or one of the great league winning teams. I think it's important to state that. But what we found, and we look at the game the other day, and it's only a small screenshot, but we were at that game the other night, Steve-O, okay? What did Derry do? Derry flooded the midfield in terms of the inverted Mullen and Duffy with the two tens. Rovers don't hurt you really in wide areas. They've got some exceptional players like Hoonahan in wide, and we know he can cause you all sorts of problems. And on the other side, they're obviously finding their feet a little bit in the wing-back positions. But they don't hurt you like with overlapping full-backs or anything like that. So it's all centralised. And what Derry done is they flooded that midfield. What Ball's done in the first game of the season was flood that midfield and sort of won that battle. And Rovers, I'm not saying they need to come up with a different way of playing, but I think the 10 shots the other day in the game, 5 only from inside the box, and I think 2 of them were on target, okay? They're not peppering the goal down for a team that has all of the best players in it. So Bradley knows better than me how to win a league. He knows better than me or anyone how to manage this group of people. But they're a little bit predictable now. So when they're good, they're unplayable. But when they're just off of which they were the other night, teams can get at them and they're not hurting teams enough. So they're not getting into the box huge amount and they're not peppering the goal down. So that's a long-winded way of saying to you, Steve-O, I still think Rovers are a brilliant, brilliant league-winning team, but you do have to involve sometimes, or else, like, when we look over to England, you see Man City, they do the same way, and ultimately then somebody like, say, De Bruyne does a bit of magic, equate that to Rovers, Jack Bourne does a bit of magic, or Graham Bourke, same principles, but then when they come off it a little bit, which Rovers have over the past sort of 12, 16 months in the league, and teams get a little bit better around you, then it becomes harder to break teams down. And if Jack Bourne at the moment is on his way back and he's getting back onto the pitch more regular, if he's not scoring a goal from 25 yards, well then, where's the moment the magic coming from? And that would be a little concern if I was a Rovers fan, the league form for a little bit of period of time. So,
yeah, look, and we'll, Joe, we'll come back to Rovers as well, because we obviously want to share a bit of praise at Galway United, and that's a massive game to look forward to this week. If I could just maybe come back to Shelburne, and if you could pick up on that point, maybe, Gareth, on their evolution under Duff, and, you know, what were the major, or I suppose, what kind of little tweaks and changes do you think he's had to make to his formation, or he's tried to make at least? And does he maybe need to kind of lean a little bit into what worked for them last season?
Yeah, I think he does. But I mean, if you remember back to the first game of the season, it was on telly. I mean, they annihilated Derry. I mean, Derry never really got into the game. Now, you could turn around and say Derry weren't up to speed and they were getting used to each other and new management and all that. You can use all those excuses. Derry still are a good team. And Shelburne made them look very, very average by playing those two up front. And that was a sort of a little bit of a tweak. Maybe it was just to accommodate Derry's weaknesses at the back, but they were excellent and they were at it and they had their teeth between their teeth, but they haven't kicked on from that, and they're still sitting 1 point from the top. You know, I don't think Damien Duff's going to get overly worried. I don't think the Shelburne fans need to get overly worried. They've brought in some real pace to the team. They need to freshen it up. I think Vinnie said it as well. When you won the league, you've got to add two or three just to sharpen everyone up. But I don't think, I can't see Damien Duff changing too much. I think they're still a real threat, and I still see them and Pats as the real title contenders. Formations wise, I think getting Chapman into the team is the biggest problem. There's no doubt about it. When Damien Duff talks about Chapman, he wants to get him into the team, and he can't seem to get that balance with him in the team and the two up front as well. So God knows when the pitches get better, Chapman obviously is a silky player. He scores goals. We've seen him at Sligo. Imagine having Chapman in the 10 behind the two up front with three sitting in front the way he likes to play. So that 4-3-1-2, I mean, that would be formidable for any team. But I don't see anybody getting too worried, or Damien Duff getting too worried about the performances or results just yet.
I think, Steve, on two or three coming in, it's like people think they have to go into your starting 11. Gareth will tell you, from being a couple of successful teams, that they don't. They just have to put enough pressure or take players up another level, whether that's signing another centre-half and Paddy Barrett doesn't get too comfortable. He feels the weight of someone else in the club and he goes up another level. Whoever that may be or whatever that position is, sometimes you just got to bring a couple in. Because you've seen a lot of teams, like you think of that Dundalk team you mentioned, you think of the Rovers team, you think of, go back to the Bowls team that won a league or that Shells team. You can nearly predict for two or three years, 7, 8, or 9 of their starting 11s. So it's not about wholesale changes when you win a league. It's just enough people in the door that freshen things up and puts a little bit of pressure on a couple of people.
And I think, Steve, as well, we saw that against Sligo, away to Sligo. That was an unbelievable result. I mean, Damien admitted himself he didn't play well, but you're missing Barrett and Gannon out of that team. I mean, that was a makeshift defence to go away to Sligo and 1-2-1. I was at the match where Derry struggled. They won 1-0. Very lucky to come in with a 1-0 victory. Scrappy game, and Shamrock Rovers have already gone up there and been beat this season. So I mean, that's the kind of results that his Shelburne team are unbelievable at getting. Those results when you're not playing well, you're down three or four men, he's able to galvanize the squad, get a team together, get those little partnerships at centre half or right back and right winger, and be able to get through games and get 3 points and get up the road. Brilliant.
Yeah,
and he went back last week. Sorry, Steve. Our last point about Shells is he sort of went back to type last week, in terms of left Boyd out and played Meepo up front and had Martin and Coote either side of him. And that's the way he would have played a lot of them games last year. So it just shows you can evolve all you want, and there's a time for that and there's a time for a front two. But he went back to type a little bit last week in that win, and ultimately that's what got him over the line, playing the way they have done for the last 16 months.
Yeah, look at that bench. Like, even with the injuries there, you got Wood, Tulloch, O'Sullivan, O'Kane, Chapman, Boyd. Like, it's an incredibly stacked bench there for Shelburne in that game against Sligo Rovers. Can I just say as well, a little bit off topic here, another man I noticed on the bench, Darren Sola Adewale, I don't think it's a name that many people will be familiar with. Excuse me, but yours truly, when we were trialling the commentary for LOI TV before it went live back around COVID times, we did a Bohemians under 16s or under 17s match. I think it was under 17s match. And this fella, Adewale, he's a left back. I think he was only 16 at the time, maybe 15 or 16 at the time. And he stood out head and shoulders above everybody else on the pitch. He's a very small player, but he's one of the most toughest tackling and quickest left fulls I've seen in underage football. So everybody keep an eye out on him. He went over to Lecce, signed for them, and then left as a free agent. Chelsea picked him up, and I think if he gets his chance, he's only 19 years of age, it'll be really interesting to see how he gets on. Look, I just want to go back to Mark Coyle, actually, Gareth, because he spoke a little bit as well about to one of the other journalists about having to learn how to dictate a game when he moved to Shelburne from Finn Harps. We spoke before about Mark Coyle. What did he have to change, or what has he improved under Damien Duff over the last 2 or 3 years?
Welcome to Peloton, where change is a six-letter word that starts with you. But don't just be the change you wish to see. Work at it, run at it, lift at it, and even keep at it. With Peloton's all-access membership, you don't ever have to dip out on a workout, unless you're squatting. Track your progress, set pace targets, and if you're ready to lift, download the Peloton Strength Plus app.
Okay, this is the fun part.
This is fitness, but personal. So see you on the Peloton tread at onepeloton.com. Find your push, find your power. Peloton.
Psoriatic arthritis symptoms can be unpredictable.
I had joint pain, and I couldn't move like I used to.
I needed relief.
I got Cosentyx.
It helped me move better.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for people 2 years of age and older with active psoriatic arthritis. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or cosentyx.com.
Ask your rheumatologist about Cosentyx.
Skip the waiting room. TireRack.com now offers convenient mobile tire installation in select areas. Simply shop TireRack.com for your next set of tires, and at checkout, choose Tire Rack Mobile Tire Installation. An expertly trained technician will arrive with your tires and install them on site, at home, at the office, wherever you are. You'll spend less time waiting and more time doing the things you enjoy. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
You have a vision for your business. Your priority might be to
expand facilities
or
bring in the best talent.
At Century Insurance, we listen, learn, and work to understand your business and your plans to help protect your
new locations.
As your business evolves and your vision comes true, Century, right by you. Property and casualty coverages and underwritten and safety services are provided by a member of the Century Insurance Group, Stevens Point, Wisconsin. For a complete listing of companies, visit century.com. Policies, coverages, benefits, and discounts are not available in all states. See policy for complete coverage details.
Yeah, it's a funny one. Mark, when he played for Finn Harps, obviously, they play a certain way. It was very successful under Ollie. Obviously, Mark came up and played in that style. But whenever you watched Mark, and I would have watched him, obviously, against Derry in a lot of the Northwest derbies were combative games. He was always up there with the fighters and had the strength and power to basically stop a pass and do their defensive ability. But when he was able to get on the ball, he always had it, but he never utilized it enough when he was at Finn Harps. So obviously Shelburne last year, and since he went to Shelburne, he's been brilliant, but he's now this year, as he said, teams are going to stand off him. So dictating the play, there's less space in behind. It's almost, you've got more time on the ball. And Vinny and me will tell you, one of the worst things to have as a footballer is too much time on the ball, because you end up thinking, three or four different options. Whereas when it's reactive and when it's under pressure, you generally pick the right option and it's generally the first one. But when you have to dig, and we talked about Chris Forrester last week about that pass for the second or third goal against Bowes, it's about being able to hold on to the ball that split second for the picture in front of you to change so that then you know exactly what to do. So to me, yes, he might have to adapt his game a little bit, but to me, he's got the quality to be able to do that. I've seen him on the ball, off the ball. I think he's got it all. And again, having the other players like Chapman that can has got the class to hold on to the ball a little bit longer or make that five-yard dart just to create that space at that right time and having the two options up front, I mean, he should have no problem.
Yeah, McElroy doing all right beside him as well. And I think it actually, Vinny, makes... I'm wondering... if you're a manager planning for this game at the weekend, whatever side you're on, we've got some really quality midfielders going to be playing against in the Shelburne versus Pat's game at Inchicore. We saw Jamie Lennon is back. He's fit. He came on as a sub in their match last Friday against Waterford. I would imagine he's going to start along with Chris Forrester. Will Bagley lose out? I'm not too sure. But that... you know, those battles that we see in midfield on Friday are going to be really fascinating. I was asking Mark Coyle as well, like, how you stop Chris Forrester or do you try and do a number on him? If you're the manager of Shelburne, if you're Damien Duff, do you kind of get Coyle or McInroy to do a man-marking job on Chris Forrester or do you just let the midfielders kind of go up against each other and see what happens in the game?
I think you dominate midfield, and I think if you focus too much, there is certain times with certain players you've got to do a certain job on them. For example, if Forrester was dropping into a right back area, you might do something different from midfield if he was rolling out there. But I wouldn't. I think there's a, like, you ever hear people say front foot football, and you should ask the next time someone says, "Hey, what does that mean?" Well, Mark Coyle sums it up brilliantly in terms of. He gets there at pace, and sometimes it's a little bit like where he'll get there at pace, he'll just get out in front of you and just roll the ball 5 yards. That's him anticipating the next pass, and he's very, very good at that.
He's always looking up, isn't he? He's always looking up when he gets on the ball.
And I think it's disrespectful to say he can't pass, and some people will make that sort of course he can. You don't get to the level he's played at with not being able to pass it. But where Mark is at his best, and Chris Shields was very like that. And as Chris got older, the two of them, I see the two of them, that's why I go back to people becoming champions. I see very similarities in the two of them because Chris evolved as a player. And as he got older, then his brain started working out where his next pass was. And plus, he was playing with better players. No disrespect to the lads at Finn Harps who received the ball and will make little pockets of space. So I think he's improving that side of the game as passing. But that front foot football, so... What Shells have to do is, I think the Shells team, whatever about who we play, you could see Boyd coming in because of his aerial threat. You get the sense that Richmond's a little bit tighter than other grounds. But I think they play. I don't think you'll have Meepo and Boyd. I'd be very surprised by that. I think you might see one with a Coote and a Martin off them, and you'll see like something like Lunny in midfield with Coyle and McInroy, and you'll see high energy, high intensity, high pressing, front foot football, as I said, and strengthen the life out of people like Forrester. And then you've got to accept as a manager and as players, Forrester's going to have a couple of moments, but you've got to almost wear him down that he's trying the wonder pass. And if he's trying the wonder pass, that's okay. He'll come off 1 and 5 or 6. But if he's dictating the game, like rolling the ball around, whether you like or not, he done it. What he done to Bowes that night, just cruising around, then you're in trouble against Chris Forrester. So, Shells have to dominate midfield, and that's why I think you're more likely to see that combination of something along the lines of Lunny, McInroy, and Coyle. High energy, high intensity. And make no bones about this. This will mean something to Damien going up to Richmond. There's a rivalry at the development there. Mm-hmm. There's something between the two managers, and I think Shells will be really at it. I think it's a big opportunity statement win for both teams, this one, whoever gets it, if they get the job done.
And a little slap in the wrist for myself because I didn't mention at the start of the show, this of course is our live game on News Talk on Off the Ball this Friday night. Nathan Murphy will be in the commentary box alongside yourself, Vinnie Perth, for the game. So do be tuned in for us.
I'm bringing the looks and the youthful looks to the show, Nathan's just
and the bag of jellies, I hope, as well. Gareth, I suppose, you know, Vinny talking about the rivalry between the two managers, I would imagine, though, Stephen Kenny, the manager of St. Pat's, hasn't had to do too much motivation of his team this week, because the manner in which they won on Friday night against Waterford, they were losing up until the 88th minute by a goal to nil, and then to come back and win a 2-1. How must that, like, that St. Pat's bus must have bounced all the way back from Waterford to Inchicore on Friday night?
I would say his heart was beating, all right. I couldn't believe it. I mean, we were obviously in Tallaght Stadium and you heard the result coming through that they were 1-0 down, and you were thinking, if they pick up a draw between the 85th minute and that, you'll go, they would take that. But to come back and get two and get the one, I mean, that could be the catalyst to go on. And we keep talking about it. If they were to go now and win 5-6 in a row, they would probably end up, and again, Shell's the same, they would probably open up a nice gap and a nice cushion at the start of the year. But I mean, we've all been there. When you're involved in a last-minute one, what it does for the training that week and the preparation for the next game, it's unbelievable.
You just Gareth, what would have been the gaffer? Or, sorry, Stephen, what would you have been? You've been in dressing room when he's won down games. What would you have been like?
And it's mad because he would be bouncing through the dressing room. And as team talk from 6 minutes before that when they were beat 1-0 will have just gone out the window. He will have not even mentioned the negatives. It would have been all positive. It would have been just get on the bus, the positive bus, and keep going.
Other managers might go, you know, we didn't play well, we were lucky. He'd be like, no, fuck that. We were great, brilliant. Yeah, that's what it's all about. Almost like, I don't want to say Kevin Keegan-esque, but you know what I mean? That sort of...
Yeah,
we got it done.
And like, I'm kind of picturing Kenny maybe going around the dressing room to each player individually, tell them
rubbing their hair, hugging them. like you know, that awkward fella hugging you and kissing you. And, he'd been brilliant. There's certain times you miss football. Like, it's little moments, like as Gareth said, those late wins. And when you've got the right environment in the dressing room, right manager, you know, we'll deal with it. We'll deal with the, you know, the goal we gave away another day. And that's what it's all about.
It's amazing how many of those he would have got throughout the years.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love to see the stats on it, because it seems like he has 3-4 a season where there's late goals, a late goal or late goals. And I don't know what it is. It's a culture, the never say die. It's just keep going. And the one thing, I said it before in this podcast as well, the one thing he hates, and Vinny will back me up, is draws. He hates draws. He will go for it. See if they're getting beat 1-0 with 10 minutes to go. He won't wait the 10 minutes. He'll change it half an hour to go and try and change the result. And if it's 1-1 going into the last 5 minutes, he'll make another positive change or another positive tactical change to say to the players. And it's almost like without shouting from the sideline, it's like, right, lads, we're going for the one here. Don't think that 1-1 down here is a good result.
Well, I don't need to remind Shells fans either, lads, because the last time these sides met, it was 2-2, 87 minutes. He brings on Kazim, and 88 minutes, Kazim scores the winner in that amazing game at Talca Park last year.
Yeah, and I don't want to make this a Stephen Kenny love in. He gets enough love, God help. Well, it is. Gareth's asking, I don't know why, and the why is, and I learned it very quickly, it's about positive substitutions. And it's a little bit, the only time you'll ever give out to you when you win a game of football, genuinely, it's always about the positive. And, you know, you bounce into a dressing room and crack a joke or whatever, is if he feels you've left some goals behind, right? Because he's always conscious of goal difference. Always conscious of goal difference. And if you beat a team 3-0, some managers come in and say that was brilliant. But if you've left 4 goal scoring chances behind you, he'll come in and have a go and say, we should have won by 6 for a goal difference. I mean, goal difference cost him a league title back in 2000 and what was it, 7, maybe 6, I'm not sure, but in around that time. So he's very conscious of that. And small coaching example, one thing I remember learning this from, we were 1-0 up in about my 4th game as assistant manager. Might have been, it was just that Sligo beat us the week before, but it was about 4 games in. And I said, what, centre halves, will we tell them to stay back? No, we'll go out and get the second. You know, and that's the mindset. And it is a winning mindset at all costs. And in our league, it's certainly working. And yeah, look, that's enough Stephen Kenny love in for
Well, you can give him a hug personally on Friday night when you're out there doing the off the ball commentary with Nathan Murphy on News Talk this Friday night. Lads, let's move on to Galway United, because there's a myth out there, maybe, I don't know if it's just Galway United supporters feel that the team hasn't been getting enough praise. I know for a fact we've been praising this Galway United team for a fair few months now, lads, going back into last season. Could we be sitting here in November praising John Caulfield and his team for a league title win?
Wouldn't surprise me. Honestly, wouldn't surprise me. I mean, we always thought last year and the year before that that they needed a striker. I think when they came into the Premier Division, their performance in the First Division was exceptional. It was just consistent. It was brilliant. There wasn't much change. And we thought that coming in, the way that Waterford came in and got Amund, and we thought, right, Amund will score enough goals to keep them up and maybe get them into to challenging for Europe. We thought this Galway team didn't make enough changes last year, and they didn't make a whole lot of changes this year as well. Kerrigan, Dyer and Stikes are the only permanent signings, and two loanees came in. That's not a big overhaul when you look at the other teams. Mm. So it's always about the collective. It's all about there's no egos, they're not afraid of hard work, and it's about accountability. And you can hear that in the pitch and the manager. There's no doubt about it. John Caulfield and Ollie Horgan, there's one thing that they always do, and that is hold you accountable. You can hear that on the pitch. I heard it firsthand. I was sitting behind them up in the Brandywell when in the first half they were atrocious. Derry got on top of them and they just couldn't get a handle on the game. And Caulfield and Ollie were just berating them. They were trying to get them structured. And I said that, and I said it after the first half, I said, there's no chance Galway are going to come out here and play the same way in the second half. And that was the case. They got the man, they got back to basics, and they were brilliant in the second half. So I love it. And the reason I'm saying that they could be challenging is just because of the consistency. And it's not the consistency this season, it's a consistency since John and Ollie has taken over. That's the data that you look at going, there's no reason why they can't go and collect 3 points here, a point here, 3 points here. I mean, to me, they've got the players. Defensively, they've got the players. The Dyer boy up front really impressed me in the Brandywell. He was exceptional. He occupied three centre halves that night. Now, that isn't easy. He's not that big, but he's combative. He got his goal that night. He created a half chance and probably should have won it that night, only for Brian Maher saving it. And then, of course, he got the two wonder goals last week. So, yeah, why not?
Yeah. I'll come back to Moses Dyer, actually, Vinny, but Caulfield's won a league title before. He knows how to do it. You know, Ollie Horgan's been in the trenches with Finn Harps and, you know, like a magician almost, kept them up for so many years in the top flight. They've got the experience there in the coaching staff. Is there a huge difference, you think, between the quality of the Galway United squad this season and the Shelburne squad that won it last season? Have they got the players there, you think, that could win a league title?
Not a huge difference in the two squads, I would say. I think the strength and depth, though, of last year's league, I think there's better top teams this year than there was last year. That's not taking anything away from Shelbourne, but I think Pats will be better this year. Obviously, I think Rovers will push teams a little bit further. And then, so I think it'd be harder to win the league this year. That's the best way of putting it. But on your point about John Caulfield knowing how to win the league, I mean, there is, you look at the game against Bowles through the day, they 30% possession over the game. But they were clever. And you see, you've got to be careful. People think you can say John and Ollie are old school and they knock the ball long and all of that stuff. Like, you look at, say, Greg Cunningham's position. So he plays in the back three on paper, but he doesn't. You know, he plays in front of the back four when you have the ball, for argument's sake, which allows Burns and Lesua to get higher up from right foot wing back. Hickey's position in sort of midfield and the way he's able to join in is because of Cunningham coming in and making forward passes. So tactically, there's a lot going on at the team. As you said, Dyer, Wald's playing up front and occupying two or three centre-halves. So there's a cleverness in terms of how they're doing stuff and the way they're doing stuff. Like, you look at someone like Rob Cornwall, right? So Rob Cornwall the other day for Bowles made, I got 58 passes thereabouts, right? We'll guess it. It was just over 60. 38 of them were to Flores, Lee Kavanagh, or Grehan, or the goalkeeper. So over 50% of his passes are sideways to these people. But Bruder and Slevin never passed the ball to once to each other. So that doesn't mean they've kicked the ball long. It just means there's a better structure. Yeah, there's a better structure about what goal we are doing. So now they didn't have lots of the ball, to be fair to Cornwall. So he's looking at, if you think about Rob Cornwall, he's looking at Galway. He's got Dyer, Walsh, Hickey, he's Cunningham, and a back three. So all he can do is go sideways or else make forward passes. So the structure of this Galway team is hurting people. And he will go direct at times. And what they do is, I often say this to people, the reason why you go long, is then to create a little bit of space to go short. Mm. And they're not afraid to do that as well. People think it's all long. So if I'm a centre-half playing for Bolger today, it's gone long. Hickey's put me under pressure on one header, or Dyer has put me under pressure one down the side. And next time one of the centre-halves get it for Galway, I drop subconsciously 3, 4, 5 yards, and that creates a little bit of pocket for a pass into, say, Brude or something along them lines. And that's where they're very clever and they're tactically very astute to what they're doing. And it's not just, you know, Wimbledon or anything like, it's nowhere near that. So you must give Galway a lot of credit for what they're doing. Really, really clever and tactically very astute by John. Not you can't win a league title and you can't do what he done with that Cork team without knowing what he's doing. So it's been really impressive.
Yeah, and I did mention a couple of weeks ago here on the podcast, lads, about Dyer and his ability to latch on to second balls. Like, he's got a great talent for sniffing out those chances as well. Wow, like, that goal the other night that was filmed by Paul Mladenovic, who's involved with Galway United. If you wanted to film a League of Ireland goal, a goal in any game, in any league around the world, you could not have filmed it better than that, right from the back up to Dyer and his finish from behind the player himself, and then him going over and celebrating with this. I'm old school. I used to love watching Serie A because you'd always see players scoring, Balestuda or all these, Hearn and Crespo, and they'd celebrate goals. They'd run out into the supporters and they'd be going mad. And like, I just think that happening for Moses Dyer at the weekend, a little bit like St. Pat's down at Waterford, getting that victory, like that, just the bond there created between the players and the supporters at Daly Mount Park the other night. Again, like, you know, strip it back to football. Like, you know, we can talk about tactics all day, and I love talking about it, and we like to offer our listeners plenty of insight here with you two guys. When you strip it back and just the passion involved in football, that kind of bonding between the supporters and the players, that's going to be worth a huge amount as well for Galway United, Gareth, going on for the rest of the season.
Where do you see Dyer walking out against Shamrock Rovers next week? He is going to be 7 foot tall. The confidence he was going to get from that. And listen, we can talk about all the goals all day long. And if you watch the game, his all-round game is incredible. He's got a touch. He can do anything. Did you see the first one, how high he jumped into the air? It was an unbelievable header. He is so athletic, and he's almost a little bit of a Stephen Walsh, only a little bit better technically. And the combination between them two, there was an instance, and it goes back to Vinny's point as well, where one of the centre halves got the ball. He had time on the centre half after they made a quick pass. So just bounced in the midfield, got the ball back, clipped it. Now, people will talk about this is long. Clipped it into Stephen Walsh. He clips it. He heads it on to Dyer. Dyer gives it back to him. Walsh goes to the left-hand side and just pulls it past the post. Like, people will look at that and go, three passes, they've gone from defence, and they've got a great, really good chance. But again, it's that combination and it's that ability to go direct and understand your strengths. That's the buy-in the two managers have got the players to buy into. But Dyer, the second goal, I mean, as you say, if Batistuta scored it back in the day, you wouldn't be surprised. It was unbelievable. And I'm hoping now that he can really kick on. And I hope that they play two up front as well, because I really like Stephen Walsh up alongside him. And I think it might have been Stephen just dropping in to cover the 10. And again, like we talked about before, Styles, this is the problem when you come up against Rovers, is that box midfield, it's very difficult to play two up front, because the four in midfield automatically drag you back into the to that to pick up one of the sitting midfielders for Rovers. So it's a conundrum that no better man for than John and Ollie to try and fix.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah.
Sorry, Steve-O, Marco Tardelli's celebration. Ah, that's what it's all about.
Absolutely.
Jeez. Still the best ever.
Yeah, yeah. Incredible stuff.
82, was it?
Yeah.
Too young for that.
Yeah, it was the 82 final, wasn't it? Vinny, like we've seen Shamrock Rovers now a couple of times this season live. It looks like everything goes through the midfielder, Matt Healy, who's part of that, the base of that box that yourself and Gareth have both referenced here today. Would it be too simple to say that if you stop him playing, that you stop Shamrock Rovers?
Yeah, I think they've got quality in like Dylan Watts can move the ball as well. If you focus too much on Healy, you open the door for Dan Cleary to step out in behind them on that sort of right hand side. That can sometimes happen. I mean, we've seen Dan Cleary advancing that much and putting crosses into the box. But there's no doubt Healy has started the season brilliantly, being up there one of the best players in the league. Mm-hmm. And he is a huge sort of driving force, what they do. While Gary O'Neill is returning from fitness, be interested to see the two of them. Can they play together? I think they can, because Healy is more likely to make them forward passes and join in and get shots off at different stages. So, but I think Galway, this goes back to the point earlier on. Galway are set up really narrow at times when they don't have the ball. Whether, as you said, whether it's Dyer, Walsh, Hickey in that midfield with Buckley, you know, lots of people, lots of bodies in around there. That won't suit Rovers. And then you've got to go wide, and then that's not really their style at the moment. And the concern about Rovers is, I think Aaron Green has done really well for them, started the game really well the other day. But Galway may be able to send Greg Cunningham in, as I said, the other day, and give them an extra body in midfield at different stages, because, like last year, you'd be fearing Johnny Kenny's movement over your shoulder. You'd be fearing that ball in behind Johnny Kenny. Mm. And Rovers are starting to go a little bit longer at different stages, with Borky playing really high up. But because there's a bit of lack of pace with Rovers up the top area, you can afford to squeeze up a couple of yards. So, difficult one to call this week. I mean, it's mad to say, not that long ago you'd have said Rovers be red hot favourites going down there, but now, difficult one to call. I think neither result to shock me. If Galway won by the odd goal, wouldn't shock me, and if Rovers won 1-0 or whatever, wouldn't shock me either. So there's not a lot between the two teams.
I think it's not the fixture that Stephen Bradley wants after that result the other night. If you, after a bad run of form, or when you're looking to get going for the start of the season, you do not want to be going to Galway. Definitely not. It's going to be a tough night for them down there.
Yeah, they've got a good record, in fairness. Four trips to Aim at DC Park, they've won. Quick one on the long throws as well, of course, from Galway United. Is that something Shamrock Rovers, do you think, would be preparing for, Gareth? Is that something that could be a concern for them?
Well, funny, Derry prepared all week for the match against them in the Brandywell, and the first long throw ended up in a goal. So you can prepare for these all you want. You know they're going to come, but it's all about the players on the day and the movement. And Hickey is a real danger, whether it's set pieces. And I think one thing that Galway, and we haven't really mentioned, they've got a lot of big men, but the quality of delivery from Galway from set pieces is exceptional. And I'm talking about long throws as well. It's on point, and the movement is very, very good. The timing, and it's obviously something that they work on. So you have to work as hard as them to try and negate that threat. So yeah, Shamrock Rovers will be talking about it. Obviously, McGinty's now going to be out for that game, so Poles is going to be in. So it'll be interesting to see how they fare for the long throws and the corners and the free kicks.
Yeah, absolutely. Like those two games in particular, I think are really exciting matches to get ready for this weekend. I mentioned all the fixtures at the top of the show. Tralee United will be looking to get back to winning ways against Waterford, who are also looking for to get back to a winning ways. Derry City, Cork City as well, of course, up the Ryan McBride, Brandywell. I'm sure you'll be there, Gareth, and I'll be down at Dalymount Park for what is now a relegation 6-pointer this early in the season between Bohemians and Sligo Rovers. We'll see how that goes. Lads, great stuff from you this week, Vinny. I hope you enjoy your short trip to Inchicore.
Bit of breaking news. Kevin McHugh has been named as Finn House manager today. Have you seen that?
No, that's the first I've heard of it.
Yeah, just seeing it there.
Any immediate thoughts on that, lads?
Gareth, you probably know Kevin well, would you?
Yeah,
I work with, play with Kevin. That's a good appointment, local appointment. He's been in and around the club. He was, I think he was director of academy before this, but he's always been in and around there. So I'm hoping now it'll give a real opportunity for the local young players. And I think Kevin will. And they're already starting under Murphy. They're already starting to blood them through. So brilliant, brilliant opportunity now for young players in the Northwest to try and get some senior appointments or senior appearances, right?
Yep, and his first match in charge is at home to Longford Town, who I was watching a bit of last week. Longford Town got a 2-0 win at home to Tree United. They looked
good,
okay.
Yeah. Longford were very good. I watched that. It's well worth or it's been a while coming, but they're finally finding their feet. We'd like to see a strong Longford Town at least be, they should be a top 4 or 5 team within in that first division. So it's good to see.
Absolutely. I thought they played some lovely football on the day. First division fixtures. Have a quick look at those. Athlone Town home to Bray. Wexford down to Cove Ramblers. As I mentioned, Finn Harps hosting Longford Town. Treaty United entertain Kerry and Dundalk, the runaway league leaders, are away to UCD. That's all we have for this week, folks. Lads, enjoy the matches this weekend. And I think it'll be Nathan probably chatting to you next week. So all the best and thank you for listening.
Cheers.
The LOI Pod on Off the Ball. Packed live and exclusive national radio commentary of the Men's League of Ireland Premier Division on Off the Ball all season.
Welcome to Peloton, where change is a six-letter word that starts with you. But don't just be the change you wish to see. Work at it, run at it, lift at it, and even keep at it. With Peloton's all-access membership, you don't ever have to dip out on a workout, unless you're squatting. Track your progress, set pace targets, and if you're ready to lift, download the Peloton Strength Plus app.
Okay, this is the fun part.
This is fitness, but personal. So see you on the Peloton tread at onepeloton.com. Find your push, find your power, Peloton.